This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Baso.com. Baso is a shopping and style inspiration site that allows you to shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands. And Baso now has a free app available. It's like Pinterest, but for shopping. So head on over to Baso.com. You guys are going to love this.
Baso.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Christine Blackburn, and I want to personally thank each and every one of you guys for listening to Storyworthy. Storyworthy has more listeners than ever before, and really, it's thanks to you guys. So please, tell a friend, a coworker, or a family member about the Storyworthy podcast, and then we can keep the shows coming.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
All right. Am I on?
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thank
Welcome you. To Storyworthy, you guys. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finn. And we're coming to you live from the LA Podcast Festival in beautiful Santa Monica, California.
Yeah. And I need a pen. Where are the pens?
I have a pen in my pocket. Here you
That's
go.
You never have a pen.
I know. It's just a sign of the apocalypse. The Mayans actually carved this into a wall.
Thanks,
I had
man.
A pen.
You know, this is a great festival. I'll tell you, Hannes.
It's
awesome. The
podcast
festival has only been going for 2 years now. Of course, podcasting has only been going for
300 years.
No,
obviously, no one knew for 298 years that there was such a thing as podcasting.
But it's been a really great weekend, and there's so many guests here that have actually been on our show.
Yeah, the halls are teaming with
the
former
halls are teeming with our former guests like Dana Gould. Phil Hendry, Graham Elwood.
Jackie Cation.
Chris Mancini, Kira Sultanovich.
Right. Oddly enough, none of these people will speak to us.
That's true.
We have been in the elevator with every single one of them, and it's just very uncomfortable because they just stare straight ahead.
But listen, you guys, tonight, you don't even understand how excited I am about our show tonight. We have musician Pearl Adey and Jim Wilson.
Yes.
Listen, I have been listening to Pearl's music. Well, she was on our show in the spring, and I've been listening to her music just nonstop, and she's just such a rocker. I can't help tell you how excited I am that she's here. So
hang on, I'm sorry.
That's
I thought
coming
this was all going to be Swedish clog dancing. No?
No, not so much tonight.
Okay,
hopefully we're going to rock, you
and
know.
And we have, of course, booked this palatial room is the largest ballroom in the United States. In case you're ever wondering, this was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright and then redone by Mies van der Rohe in later years. Thank you. Architecture joke. Thank you. One person. Well, the guy from Chicago knew who Mies van der Rohe was. That's awesome. Thank
all
you
right,
very much,
but
Joe.
Listen, their topic, as you guys know, the Storyworthy podcast is all about the topic, and our guest brings the topic. And tonight, that topic is Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
Michael Jackson.
How big can that podcast? That's a big topic.
Well, it's really exciting because obviously he's so iconic. And then this week, of course, that verdict came down.
Yes, yes.
But these guys both have personal stories about him, so I'm just thrilled. My only story about Michael Jackson involves dancing in my living room in 1971. So.
Yeah, so that puts you in a very exclusive group of every child in 1971. That's the only story. I don't have any personal stories, but my lovely fiance Sherry, who is here tonight. Let's hear it, folks. Thank you. She, when we first started dating in 2009, which is when Michael Jackson passed away, unfortunately, she was very upset about this, and I was mildly upset because I have a heart of stone. But she was like, I have to work, and I can't watch the memorial at Staples Center. And I'm like, I got your back, baby. I'm going to record that for you so you can watch it later, which I did. And
this is how you woo a woman.
This is, yeah. I use the death of my major celebrities to get somewhere with women. That's just,
and so you recorded it for
I
her.
Did record it. And not on DVR, you punk kids. VHS, baby.
Half inch.
2009, still recording on VHS. Thank you. Thank you, you kids
all right.
today.
So, but listen, let's get to the storytellers because they're
here.
Yeah,
the hell with us.
But before that, I did want to mention, you guys, if you want to support Storyworthy, and of course you do because you're here.
Yes, we're actually going to charge you to get out of the room.
When you shop on Amazon, you head over to storyworthypodcast.com first, right? And then there's a banner, and you click there, and then, in fact, you're helping the show.
And you could buy your Michael Jackson albums that you will be inspired to buy, perhaps some Civil War pornography. We don't know. We don't judge. We don't care.
We don't care. We don't care.
No, no, no.
You know,
buy what you want.
A lot of people do the Amazon thing now. You know, a lot of people.
Yeah, like elementary schools.
Yeah.
We'll do that to raise money. Screw those kids.
Yeah. You need entertainment, and that's what
they have parents to support them. Look at us. Look at us. We're in rags. We're in rags, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. And then one more thing I got to say before we bring up our storytellers, and then they're going to play music. I told you that, right?
Oh, no, you left that part out.
So
they're going to be
story,
playing music,
and then there's music. So it's everything in one hotel room.
And there will be a game show as well.
And
there will.
Show.
By the way, Pearl, you are going to juggle. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you that you needed to learn to juggle in order to do this.
Okay, I did want to talk real quick, Hannes, about one of our new sponsors, Beso.com.
Beso.com.
Now listen, they have a free app. It is available. You just go, you get it on your phone, and then you have that app.
It's fantastic. It's an app. It eliminates for me the part that I really hate, which is leaving my house.
But you forgot
That's
what
part
it
of
is.
Shopping that I,
you forgot what it is.
Well, no. What it is it allows you to compare and contrast products and prices of thousands
yes,
of stores.
That's what you're trying to say. In other words, it's like Pinterest, but for shopping. You log on to Beso.com, you download the free app,
right.
And then when you're standing in line or you're hanging out and you've got time to kill, it's a boredom buster because what's happening is they're giving you suggestions on what to purchase based on your style persona.
Exactly.
You know what I am, Hannes?
What are you?
I would like to be rocker. I'm not.
You're not.
But But they're different. So you could be like romantic feminine or preppy or classic. And then Beso gives you suggestions on what to buy.
I am an elderly black woman on Beso.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm getting a lot of really good suggestions for large dresses and enormous hats to go to church in.
You can also
really
find us
exciting.
On Twitter. Please feel free to tweet amongst
yourselves. Tweet amongst yourselves.
At Storyworthy. All right, you guys. Without further ado, let's bring on our first guest. Please, Jim Wilson, this guy, you guys. I've been watching so much of him on YouTube. He's a singer-songwriter. He's been a member of Mother Superior, a founding member of Mother Superior, and also of the Rollins Band. He's also played with Daniel Lanois and Sparks and, of course, Pearl. And he's just released his first album on vinyl, solo album, on vinyl, and it's self-titled.
Vinyl? What is that?
And
is that
you can find
like
him at jimwilsonmusicblogspot.com or on Twitter at jimwilson45. So, folks, wherever you are, they're right here.
They're right here.
Put your hands together for Jim Wilson.
Thank you. Is this thing on? Wow. So I was one of those kids in 1971 dancing to the Jackson 5 in my room also. For sure, some of the first records that I ever bought. And I moved to California in the early 90s and worked at Tower Records on Sunset. My first job. And I would see, like, you know, every day was an adventure. Everybody from Bill Murray to Sylvester Stallone to every musician I ever loved would be standing right in front of me. And then one day it was a Sunday night, I was working by myself in the cassette section. That's how long ago it was. And I saw this strange guy come in through the doors, and my first thought was, like, Hollywood, you know, this is another one of those weird Hollywood people. I came from Delaware, so it was all new to me. And I watched him shop around for a while. He had a baseball hat, an Afro wig, a mustache, buck teeth, really bad thrift shop clothes, like purposely bad slacks and a sweater and Band-Aids on his face. And he had two kids with him that were shopping around, and he was looking through tapes, and, you know, being a big fan, Bad had been out for a little bit, and I used to play the record in the store. When I came to California, it's kind of embarrassing. My favorites were Def Leppard and Michael Jackson, and I would play those records because we could play one record every day while you worked, you know, you could make your choice. Every time I played Michael Jackson, the other employees just were like, oh, no, not this again, you know. More about that later. And then I was just watching the guy, you know, and it just kind of hit me. I just thought, wait a minute. I saw him talking to the kid, too, and it just kind of hit me. And I picked up a box of tapes and walked out to hear his voice as he was talking to the kid. And sure enough, when I heard the voice, there's no getting around that, you know. So I asked him if I could help him, and I helped him shop around that day. And from that point on, there were 11 times where he called me at the store to see if I was working and would come in. Actually, there was 10 because after working, and every time I would freak out, and I got autographs the first three times and never asked him again, but he would call the store and say, "Is Jim there?" You know, and they'd say, "Jim, Michael's on the phone." And people would laugh, you know, people would say like, "Oh, you're Michael Jackson's friend," or whatever. I never went to Neverland or anything like that, but you know. And getting back to those other employees that I was talking about, the very first time that I helped him shop, he bought a ton of stuff, and I told him it was always crowded in there, so I said, "You don't have to wait in line if you don't want to. You can just chill out in the back, and then, you know, we'll ring you up in the front." So he went in the back, he took out his teeth, he started taking everything off, you know, so you got a little more the real Michael Jackson. And yeah, so people never knew that it was him, and the employees found out that it was okay. He would sign autographs in the back if you wanted. And there were all the same people that hated every time I put it on. There they were, standing in line waiting for an autograph, you know? So, and it went on further after that, too. At Tower Sunset, you can never kind of go up in your position because most of the people that were the managers have been there forever. So there's another tower in Sherman Oaks, and I got offered a management position there. So I left and went there, and I thought, there goes the Michael Jackson thing. And then one day a girl from Tower Sunset called Sherman Oaks and said, "Michael just called for you." And I was like, ah, there goes that, you know. But then one day when I was working at Sherman Oaks, somebody said, "Michael Jackson's at the toy store across the street." And I thought, well, I'm going to take a 10-minute break and go across the street, see you guys later. And that was the only time that I ever saw him as Michael Jackson. He had bodyguards, and he was, you know, himself. And so as I walked over to the toy store, he came out with his bodyguards, and he saw me. He said, "Hey," and he was like, "Hey." And he said, "There you are." And I said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "I'm at this tower now. You should come over and check it out. It's a really good store." The next day, he came in. And it was the same thing. I'd been working at that tower for a little bit, and people would say, like, "This guy knows Michael Jackson," you know, like kind of like poking fun. But it's the same thing. Super excitement when he would come in. There was one time at Sunset, I would follow him around with a shopping cart basket thing, and he would just put CDs in the cart, you know, and we'd go through every section. And then one day he would come in and say, "I want to go through oldies. I want Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis." And it's like, all right, so I had somewhat of a music knowledge, so I think he just started trusting me that I knew what I was talking about, you know. So one day we were going through the rock sections, and we were like in the eyes or whatever, right next to the Michael Jackson section, and two girls walked up and said, "Michael Jackson!" And we like totally froze, but she was just looking in the section and saying that to her friend. It's totally true. It was like a moment of like, oh no, here we go. But nothing ever happened. Nobody ever recognized him. Huh. He used to drive himself, always had a couple kids, always would buy for them whatever they wanted. Another interesting story too is when he went into the back room, we had a one-way window like for shoplifters, you know. So the security guys would sit in this window, a two-way one, yeah, and watch for shoplifters. And he said, "What's going on up there?" I said, "Oh, that's the security guys. Can I go up there?" "Yeah, sure." He sat up there for like 15 minutes, and he said, "I never get to watch people." And he had a smile on his face, like totally just like watching the people shop, you know. And then he would get up and put his stuff back on. I would help him take his boxes out to the car, and he would drive away and wave. Pretty surreal. And like I said, I'm a huge Jackson's fan forever. And to this day, the thing that cracks me up is out of the 11 times that I got to be around Michael Jackson, I've never met any other Jackson. I've never met Tito. And I would like to. I never met Aunt Janet or anything, you know. So it's just always funny to me that, you know, for some reason I ran into the guy. And the very last time was in the mid-90s. I was in a band by that point, way out of Tower by then, and I was with the first drummer in my band. We were walking down Hollywood Boulevard to get some food, and I don't know, same thing. I was walking, and ahead of me was this guy in a full burqa with his face covered. You can only see this much of his face, his eyes, and that's all I really needed to see for him anyway, you know. And I told my friend Jason, I said, "I think that's Michael Jackson." He's like, "You're crazy." So I figured I might not get this chance again, you know, to, you know, I didn't know he was going to die. But I figured, you know, since I wasn't working at Tower. So I walked up. He was with a family. That was another thing, too. I forgot to say. It was like a full-on, like, mother and three kids, and they were all walking down Hollywood Boulevard with a guy in a burka, you know. So I walked next to him, and I said, Michael? And he went like this. He squinted his eyes, like, just in case, you know, he didn't want to talk to me. I said, it's Jim from Tower. And he grabbed my hand. He said, promise not to tell a soul. And I said, I won't tell anybody. And he took me in the corridor of the Guinness Museum thing. And we sat there and we like caught up for a while, you know, and I introduced him to my friend Jason. And I had started jogging. I lost some weight at that time. And he looked me up and down and said, you look great. And I was like, thanks, you know. So I went around the corner. I think I screamed when I went around the corner, like, ah! So no, I'm still a huge fan, you know. And then after he died, I never thought that, you know, that I would never talk to him again. When my wife moved out here, I figured, you know, someday we might run. I remember after Michael Jackson died, I asked her, I said, so when did I first tell you about Michael Jackson? And when she's like, well, one of the first emails, you're like, guess how many times I met Michael Jackson? So.
Wow. So how did you find out he died?
That's a funny story, too. I was visiting my parents on the East Coast in Maryland, and we were driving to the airport, and Angie started calling me, and she's, you know, they're saying Michael Jackson may be dead, you know. So I was actually with my parents, which I thought was weird, too, because they were always excited every time I told them about meeting Michael.
Yeah, because
whatever.
They had been listening with you, they playing it for you, yeah.
And he was a really tall man, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was, but, you know, my dad said the same thing to me. He's really tall. And you know, I guess I never thought about it, maybe because I was just nervous, too. But
I think he was taller than you would think.
Yeah.
Like, I meant Leonardo DiCaprio once, not to drop names on the floor, but it's like, he's, like, really tall. Mm-hmm. And he looks like such a boy on screen that you figure he's 5'8". Yeah. He's, like, 6'3".
Jim,
it's
would you just die if we had, like, LaToya Jackson here right now?
I wish.
That'd be so great. I was doing anything to just shout that out.
By the way, speaking of Tito, Joe Slepsky, our assistant, was just doing improv for LaToya Jackson for her improv show, and did a Tito Jackson joke, which she laughed at. So it's like Tito cannot catch a break.
Right? No.
Wow, that's funny. I didn't hear that.
Amazing. I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
You said the first you got autographs from the first three times.
I lied. Four. I gave the
four.
Fourth one to my parents.
My question is, why did you get it more than once? I mean, I understand it's exciting, but what do you do with four of them?
The first time I got Bad CD signed, the second time I got Thriller, and then I got Off the Wall.
Wow.
And then I said, okay, well, so
those
are
the three. That's so fantastic.
Thriller signed CD by Michael Jackson?
Wow, that's fantastic. Where do you live
again?
You
deserve better than the bottled water.
So
you couldn't find it.
Yeah. Tell me, what was he buying the first time you helped him?
Everything. I mean, from like Steely Dan in Boston to Smokey Robinson to soundtracks, everything.
I used to dream about that as a kid.
Me
that
too.
I would know I was rich if I could ever walk into a store and just buy music, you know? And my buddy actually last week, he just said to me, you know what I just spent 2 hours doing? I just spent 2 hours downloading music on iTunes. So now instead of going to the record store, people go to, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay,
I mean,
so
it's weird. Like, I would think that Michael Jackson could have just had his manager call every record company on earth and say, send us everything you have.
It's
send
true.
Us a copy of every single thing, and they would have just done it.
Like, even Sony stuff, you know, even
yeah,
how
his
much
label.
Ties he had to Sony, he was buying everything just paying.
He probably enjoyed the process.
Yeah.
And so you became like a personal shopper.
It's weird. After he died, too, I saw a picture of his closet with his CD collection, and it kind of felt like, you know,
wow.
It's probably there a lot of the time.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Did the children ever remember you, or were they his children that were with him?
They were not his children.
They were just people he was helping out? Or
I never knew. And then sometimes I think about, were some of those children, like, was that the one of them the first one that came out and said what he said, you know what I mean? So
you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, how do you know? So
I mean,
what other costumes?
I think he did say this is whoever, but you know.
Yeah. What are the other costumes? You got the burka, the homeless guy look?
It was always the homeless guy at Tower Sunset.
Isn't that something? Well, it fit right in there, really.
Mm. Well, yeah.
I think it's now a Starbucks, isn't it?
Tower Records, I believe, had been torn down.
It's a Halloween store right now.
Well, of course it is.
Sad.
It's the Halloween headquarters.
Yeah,
of course it is. Okay,
yeah,
Jim.
By the way, there's a lot of references that the kids on the are listening on the interweb are not going to get. We got VHS, we got record stores.
Cassettes.
And cassettes, yeah. They're like, I don't know what these old people are talking about.
Okay, tell me more about Cry Now, Pay Later, the song I can't stop listening to.
Oh, thanks.
On the YouTube.
I recorded that with, I wrote that song, but then I also play guitar sometimes with this band called Sparks. They're a California band, and I did that with those guys basically because I was going to use their keyboards to put a piano track on it. And then after I recorded it, I said, you guys can do whatever you want, too. Like, you know, if you want to mix it when I leave, and they turned the whole song around and, like, rearranged it and, you know, did some kind of like
it's
string arrangements.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Really, really nice.
I have copies for everybody if you want them too.
Oh, wow. That's
vinyl
fantastic.
And CD.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, tell me about the vinyl.
You have to wear a burka or he won't give it to you.
And the choice. Tell me about the vinyl choice.
Oh, I'm just a vinyl freak. I have a vinyl radio show on Tuesday nights, and I just have been collecting records. I love CDs too, and I have a lot of CDs, but I just always go back to vinyl and playing records at
home. It just sounds differently.
Sounds different. I like the... that when the side ends, I have to get up and put on another side.
It's
you know?
An event, yeah.
And if I don't like the first side that much, I don't have to play the rest, you know?
Right.
So.
I remember I had, I think it was one of the Beatles albums where the first song on side two was a George Harrison song. Now, Sherry loves George Harrison. Me, not so much. So I would always go and like try and put it down just past, I feel bad, but I would put it down past George's song. And I felt like, did they put it on the front so that you didn't have to get up in the middle? To, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that just seems cruel somehow. Like, okay, we'll put your song on. Put it on the first one so they can skip it easy. Ah, it seems
nice, Hannes.
Well, I didn't do it. It's the Beatles. Why aren't you angry with Paul McCartney?
Listen, you guys, this is so much fun. So there's your first Michael Jackson story. So let's give it up for Jim Wilson.
Thank you.
And like I said, I'm so excited about our next guest. She's here right now. She's been on our show before. She's just an amazing singer-songwriter. She's played sung backup vocals for many different bands, but now she's got her own thing going on, and she has her debut album called Immaculate Little Fox. It came out just a couple of years ago, and I can't get enough of her. Please, you can find her at cheersloverock.com or Twitter now at Pearl A Day. So please, without further ado, put your hands together for the rock child herself, Pearl A Day.
So I met my best friend when we were 5 years old. Her name is Chudney Ross. Her mother is Diana Ross. And let's see, around this time, I think I was probably about 9 or 10. I think that would have been like 1985. So Thriller was out already about 2 years. I was a huge, huge, huge Michael Jackson fan. Like, I would get together with my girlfriends at one of their homes, and we'd play with Strawberry Shortcake and watch the making of Thriller on VHS and chant, "We love Michael Jackson," you know, that kind of thing. So I was over at Chudney's house one day playing Barbies upstairs in the children's wing, and and I hear the doorbell ring, and it's that one of those big doorbells that rings throughout the whole house, bing, bong, 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 right? And Chudney whips her head around. She goes, "He's here!" And I went, "Who's here?" She goes, "You'll see." And I was like, "Okay." So we walk downstairs, and we turn the corner. We come down, like, there's this big winding ballroom staircase that curves around, and we come down to the bottom. We come around the corner, and there's Diana opening the door, welcoming Michael Jackson into the house because he'd come for a visit. And I just kind of, like, froze, and I remember just sort of, like, getting this huge smile, and I started sweating, like, weird 10-year-old sweaty, and... But I was like in heaven, and then I got all shy. But I remember that he was just all smiles. He was this amazing, amazing energy, huge, huge presence, really just like a benevolent cloud of happy guy-ness sort of thing. And as a child, it was like, yay, let's play, you know? Like, because that's he. he was just so happy to be there. And Chudney has two other sisters, and also Alfonso Ribeiro was there because he was friends with the girls. And he knew Michael Jackson because he at the time was really enjoying all that fame from the Tap Dance Kid that was on Broadway. So, but anyway, I remember Michael walked in. It was like 2 years after Thriller was out, so he still had that sort of look going. He had like the tight Jerry curl and brown slacks that were a little bit short. So you could see he had ankle socks, light blue ankle socks folded over, and he had black penny loafers on. I don't know why I remember exactly what he was wearing, because it was so interesting to me, because like nothing matched, but it was fantastic. And he had a pink button-down shirt on, and he had one of those military jackets on with the epaulettes, with gold piping and red ropes hanging down. Like that, and he had a sparkly glove on. He had one sparkly glove. And he walked in, and he was just like, hey, everybody. And he was like, Diana. And Diana's known him since he was, like, since he was 5 years old. And so it was like family. And then we just proceeded to sort of hang out. We went, hung out in the living room. They had this, it's Diana's house, so it's like this massive, every room is massive. And We hung out in the living room, and I remember just sort of being really shy, and Chudney said to Michael, Pearl's really shy because you're here. And I was like, shit, I am not. And then and I remember him that, and then I remember Michael always sort of kind of like toying with me, like, Pearl, like sort of like not in a creepy way, but sort of like, don't be shy, it's just me, you know. And Alfonso was like dancing around, and but it was just really, really a lot of fun, you know. And then at some point we went downstairs into the game room because Diana has a bowling lane down in the basement in the game room, like a fully functional bowling alley, like a Brunswick lanes with the yeah, with the mechanized return system and all the different size balls and a full closet with every size two-tone bowling shoe that you could ever that for like a, for who, you know, for whoever drops by, like Michael Jackson. And Michael asked me what size shoe I wear, and he handed me the shoes out of the closet, and it was just, we went bowling. I went bowling in Diana Ross's basement with Michael Jackson and Alfonso Ribeiro, and we had a blast. And he was so, I just remember him being so, so happy to be there and to play, and he was really childlike and playful and just like the sweetest soul. I just remember him being like the sweetest, most gentle soul that I'd ever encountered, and made me feel really comfortable, even though every 2 seconds I was like, that's Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then at some point after we finished bowling, we went up into the kitchen and someone turned on the radio and Jermaine Jackson's song came on, Dynamite. Do you remember that song? Dun, 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 Dynamite. Do you remember? Anyone remember that song? So Alfonso started dancing, like doing his Michael Jackson dances. And then Michael started dancing. And then Chudney did the moonwalk, tried to do the moonwalk. And Michael goes, no, 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 here, let me show you. So he goes, Pearl, come here. And then he goes, look, you go like this, and he stood next to us, and he said, you guys stand here. So we stood here next to Michael, and he went through the motions of the moonwalk in slow motion. I showed how you put your foot down, you drag it back, then you lift it up, then you put your other foot down, you drag it back. And he did the moonwalk in slow motion, and he did it with us over and over and over again until we got it. So Michael Jackson taught me how to moonwalk.
Now, did he keep that glove on the whole time?
No, he took it off to go bowling, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then he put on bowling shoes too.
Yeah.
Did they have
to,
like
the
sizes on the back?
Yeah, just
of
like
course,
in a bowling,
they're bowling
alley.
Shoes. Yeah. God.
Yeah. That's like
you're
a dream.
From Pittsburgh, you ought to know this.
That's like a dream,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they also had the full-size arcade games of Paperboy, Ms. Pac-Man, Asteroid.
Frogger?
Oh, my gosh.
No
and
Frogger.
One of those bubbly jukeboxes with all Motown songs.
It's still cool, right?
It's the best place.
And did you ever see him again?
We did a couple years later. I think it was after Bad came out because he played Dirty Diana live. We went to go see him at Madison Square Garden. I went with Diana and all the girls, and we sat over in like the special section, and we watched Michael and totally rocked out. And then there was an after party in his room at the Waldorf Astoria. So we rode over there.
Oh, I remember that party.
We rode over there with Janet and Jermaine and Diana and the girls.
Tito? Was Tito anywhere?
Tito.
Damn, Tito.
Tito
can't
might
catch
have
a
been
break.
There. Manuel Lewis was there.
Did you ever experience him in the disguises, or was he always himself to you?
No, he never. I was always with him when I was with Diana, so he wasn't trying to disguise himself.
You know, that occurred to me that
Diana.
No wonder his disguises were so outlandish, because he's disguising himself from his normal clothing, which is more outlandish than a homeless man. It's like, I'm a general with one glove. And it's like, it made perfect sense. So he's like, well, if I'm going to be in a burqa, it's going to be like the coolest friggin' burqa in the face of the earth. Look at this thing. Anyhow, go ahead.
And where were you when you found out he died? Or how did you find out?
I was actually in Zagreb, Croatia, because I was with my husband and his band, Anthrax. They had just finished a festival.
Let's put our hands together for Anthrax, shall we? I think we could do that. Come on.
And it was actually really horrible. It's very sad because it came out of nowhere. Whoever expected to hear that news.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, you knew him, so it was a total shock to you.
It was a total shock. I hadn't seen him since I was a kid, but still, he's so special.
But you hadn't heard anything, you hadn't heard
friends
ringers
who I love. Yeah, and you know, to them, he was family. So, I think one of our friends called us or emailed Scott. We were in the van leaving the gig, going back to the hotel in Zagreb, and he said, "Did you hear about Michael Jackson?" And I got on my cell phone right away, and I called Chudney back at home, and she answered the phone, and the first thing she said was, "Did you hear about Michael?" And I was like, "Oh, it's true."
There's moments like that in your life that you just remember no matter what, like James Gandolfini recently. And it just hits everybody, and you're so confused at first. Yeah. Like, that doesn't seem real.
Right, there's so many false death rumors now on you know, social media that you always are now questioning that it probably isn't true. Because, like, sometimes it'll be like, oh, somebody died, and it'll be a rumor from 5 years ago that somebody reposted.
It's like a Facebook thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like a Facebook thing, and they come back, and it's like, Richard Pryor. I mean, not Richard Pryor.
He's dead.
He is dead.
He really is dead.
Wait, what? Hang on. I'm confused.
Let me ask you something. Chutney. It's not chutney. That's a condiment.
It's with a D. C-H-U-D-N-E-Y. Yeah.
And you're still friends.
She's still my best friend, yeah. She owns that place, Books and Cookies, down in Venice.
Oh, that's terrific.
I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's a children's reading, learning.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Place. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And
yeah.
You have a son.
Yes.
And he is two?
He's two, 2 1/4.
And what does he do now?
He plays the drums.
So he's going to be a drummer.
Well, right now he is.
When you come from a musical family and your husband's musical and you're musical and you have a baby, does everybody give you, you know, is it all music gifts?
I think we have a closet full of rocker onesies that everyone they really think we need like another Misfits onesie.
Right. That's really funny. Yeah, I enjoy tennis, and so I got a lot of tennis, you know, stuff I had my child.
Your son, you realize, will probably rebel against both of you and become a corporate lawyer.
Yeah.
And it'll be something
that's
horrible.
All right. That would be fantastic.
Okay, I have another question for both of you, Jim and Pearl. How do you choose which songs to cover? Like, for instance, on YouTube, there's that song Love Hurts that the two of you do as a duo. It's just so beautiful. How do you decide, let's do that cover? I mean, if you're going to do a cover, how do you decide a cover?
That was just for fun. We only did it one time. Really.
Yeah, I think we both love that song, and it's a song that just fit us together very well as a duo.
We've been working
on
an album with a lot of harmony, so that we didn't want to sing a song from the album at that point yet. So it was just, we have similar tastes in music.
It's interesting, you know, they just say they just kind of shot it, but then it's just like it's gotten so many downloads. I mean, it's very popular, and it's beautiful. It has.
Right,
it's just beautiful. It seems like something you guys had worked on for quite a while.
We've been singing together for a while.
Tell me how you met.
We met through my husband, actually, because Scott knew Jim and the guys when, I think when you guys were with the Rollins Band, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when you guys first met? Because Scott is friends with Henry, so.
Right, the right? Palladium.
Is that right? Okay, yeah.
And you were at a gig, as it were, or?
I think we went to go see Mother Superior play at the Viper
Denver
Room.
Denver, too. You
and then, well, that was after, yeah. And then, yeah, and I'm just a big, dorky, huge, nerdy girl fan of Mother Superior, so.
It's like looking in a mirror, isn't it, people?
Yeah. Wow. No, it's great. It's so exciting. It's very rock and roll. It's very exciting.
I'm very
happy you guys are
comedians
here.
Comedians never have stories like this. They're like, I was playing the Laugh Hole in Pittsburgh, and a guy said, listen, I got a gig for you in Canton. It's a bowling alley. They're still bowling while you're doing comedy. But okay, never
mind. At the Chuckle Hut, I think you're thinking of.
Yes, perhaps you go to Berlin to the Comedy Bunker.
We are excited to hear you guys play some songs. But
yes.
Hey, do you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy first?
Me?
Yeah, Jim's, come on, bro.
Like,
what do you say?
Pearl does.
All right, let's play.
Okay.
There it is. Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Drunk Tank!
Oh, God. Where do I start? When I had my 21st birthday, my girlfriends decided to throw me a big birthday party and bring a lot of tequila. And I really didn't know how to drink that great at the time. And so it didn't help that we didn't have real shot glasses. We had Dixie cups. So needless to say, the end of the night wound up with me falling down a flight of stairs at, what's it called, M80 Paradise Club? I went to college in Boston. And then somehow I got home, took all my clothes off in my room. Like, I was just naked and leaning, like falling over the toilet going, ambulance, ambulance. Ambulance. And then, you know, they tied me to a chair and put me, you know, not my friends, the emergency worker guys. And I went to the hospital and I had alcohol poisoning.
See, that's a great story there.
Wow.
That's a rockin' story, yeah.
But that's how you play Shotgun Storyworthy. The title comes up, boom, she has a story.
That's
and you
just
did it
sprang
in...
to mind.
Jim, you want to play the game?
Yeah.
Last night? Oh, yeah.
No, that's better, yeah.
I didn't go.
Oh, okay, but that's a story. Why didn't you go?
Because I was too cool for those Delaware freaks.
Yeah, you like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, no, I was already planning to get out there, out of Delaware. You know, my dad had a country band, and I thought if I want to, you know, play. What was it called? Lum's Tavern on Friday nights, and I'll stay here. So I was never close to people in my high school other than talent show, and people just thought I was the rocker, so I never went to the prom. You know.
All right, there it is. I can respect that. I just went to one myself, just one, and that was, you know, whatever. All right, cool. So you guys, we're going to take a very short break, and then these guys are going to be back to play some music, so don't go anywhere.
Woohoo!
On Storyworthy, we have the Art of Charms, Jordan Harbinger.
And I'll be talking about getting kidnapped in Mexico.
Sounds like fun. Next week on Storyworthy.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone. Somebody holds the key. You are the reason I've been waiting all these years. Somebody holds the key. Well, I'm near the end and I just ain't got the time. Oh, and I'm wasted and I can't find my way home. Lonely, a long time lonely. I found your face. Only, oh, if only I never had to leave this place. And I'm just a baby. I feel old enough to die today. Before mama makes it all okay. Hold me for the last time, hold me. I'm finally, I'm moving on my way. Oh, show me that you wanna know me. No, I'll never, ever be that way. I love you, maybe. I'm just holding on for a line to pray. Before mama, she'll make it all okay. Sunshine, gonna feel fine, I'm gonna do all right. Ooh, I'm gonna find my way. Gonna get in mine, I'm gonna bleed sunshine. I'm gonna feel fine, I'm gonna do all right. Oh, I'm gonna find my way. Gonna get in mine, I'm gonna bleed sunshine. Gonna feel fine, I'm gonna do all right. Oh, I'm gonna find my way. Gonna get mine, I'm gonna bleed sunshine. Gonna feel fine, I'm gonna do all right. Oh, I'm gonna find my way. I'm just a baby, but I feel old enough to die today. Ooh, I got a long way before mama makes it all okay. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. That one was called Mama. This one's called
Days Gone By.
Days Gone By. Mm. This is a brand new one. We've never played it in public before.
It's so true.
Thinking about the days gone by, memories that never dry, and all the means that don't lead to an end. Caught up in the days gone by, and the tears are never dry. Yesterday it won't be around again. Here I am, where I've always been, drifting south of sin, but pulling north the right. Here and gone, off where time belongs, like a sailor's song, fleeting in the night, following the echoes of a well-worn friend. I drink to you and dip into that well again. Days gone by. Ooh. Thinking about the days gone by, memories that never die, and all the means that don't lead to an end. Caught up in the days gone by, and the tears are never dry. Yesterday it won't be round again. Here I am, where I've always been, drifting south of sin, but pulling north the right. Here and gone, off where time belongs, like a sailor's song, fleeting in the night. Following echoes of a well-worn friend. I drink to you and dip into that well again. Days gone by. Thinking about the days gone by.
Memories that
never die,
and all the means that don't lead to an end.
Caught up in the days gone by, memories that never dry.
Yesterday it won't be round again. Thank you.
Nice girl. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. I have our set list on my iPhone. That's why I keep looking at my phone. I'm not texting anybody, yeah, I promise.
It's going really great.
What do you want for dinner? All right. This one is called Living a Lie, right. And it's another brand new one. I think we did this on Storyworthy last time. Yeah, only a little bit. No, we did the whole thing. But now it's more finished.
Two. One, two, three.
Come on down, my baby. Come on down tonight. Who would wanna think that all this time we've been living a lie? I remember all the parts you used to play, and I remember how you made me feel my shame. Give me time to shake it off my shoulders. I've been dying to wake you for a smile. Oh, come on down, my baby. Come on down tonight. Come on down and make everything all right. I want you to see me, and I ain't trying to hide. Who would wanna think that all this time we've been living a lie? I remember all the songs we used to sing, and I remember all the joy you used to bring. Give me time to shake it off my shoulders. I've been dying to wake you for a smile. Oh, come on down, my baby. Come on down tonight. Oh, come on down and make everything all right. I want you to see me. I'm so sick and tired. Climbing out these walls I'm closed behind. We've been living a lie. If you told me what you were feeling on the side, and if you told me, girl, I gotta catch this flight, don't I know that nothing lasts forever? But don't take it all and leave me here to die. Oh, hey. Come on down, my baby. Come on down tonight. Come on down and make everything all right. I want you to see me, and I ain't trying to hide. Who would wanna think that all this time? Who would wanna think that all this time? Who would wanna think that all this time we've been living a lie? We've been living a lie. We've been living a lie. We've been
Thank you. Thank you. So Jim and I have been working on a brand new album the past couple months. I have a two-year-old, my husband and I have a two-year-old, so it's taking a little bit longer than normally. So we do it in bits and pieces when we can.
It's going to be worth the wait, though.
It totally is. And I think this one is one of Jim's songs, and we re-recorded it for this new album. It's called Let It Go.
Water is rising, covered in mud. And every living creature made of flesh and blood is gonna drown in the flood.
wake up dreaming to the whispering rain. Full of worry, but I won't complain. It's only rain. Dark clouds always fading, sunlight in my past. When the sky was pitch black,
oh, I had to turn back
and let it go. Pockets are empty, down to dust. The storm fell heavy, turned my heart into rust. Still trying to adjust. Dark clouds always fading, the sunlight in my path. When the sky was pitch black,
oh, I had to turn back,
let it go. Let it go. Work on the river, try to keep afloat. The words of a searcher said, don't lose hope. So I never lost hope. Dark clouds always fading, sunlight in my path. Underestimating, the days go by so fast. Dark clouds always fading, sunlight in my path. When the sky was pitch black,
oh, I had to turn back,
let it go. Let it go.
Sing along part, everybody.
Oh, let it go.
Thanks.
Thank you. So do we have time for one more? Are we? Yes? Okay. So this is our last song, and it's going to end on a happy note-ish, sort of. It's called Gina's Song, and we wrote it about this girl that we know. She was a kind of a runaway. She ran away to Vegas, became a stripper. Did that for a while, decided she was finished, and then she finally got out and moved to San Francisco, and now she is an artist and an art dealer. So it's a happy story. I thought that was story worthy, so. It's called Gina's Song.
Falling out of love, with her memories for her role. Feeling now she finally got it right. Gina ran away, thinking no one's gonna miss her anyway. She dug out of her home, naked beauty on her own. The desert burned a blister where she lay. She says she's a writer, yet the baby's just a fighter on the page. Well, ain't I strong enough? Oh, big old baby love. Yeah, it ain't much, but it's all I got. Her sunshine's all on show, and the stars are all her own. Shaking viva while the neon fades to gray. They said she's on fire, but she knows she's cool enough to walk away. Well, ain't I strong enough? Oh, big old baby love. Yeah, it ain't much, but it's all I got. Holding on to an old and pretty soul. Where she's going, there ain't nothing she don't know. Moving on from the same old sad story. Every morning sun just wants her to be free. Hey, hey, hey. Ain't I strong enough? Oh, big old baby love. Yeah, it ain't much. It ain't much. No, it ain't much, but it's all I got.
Thank you. Going, you guys, for Pearl of Day, one more time, and Jim Wilson.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank a couple of people here on Storyworthy, including Jorge Reyes, also Joe Slepsky, Dawn here in the back helping us out today, and Amber, and everybody at the podcast festival.
And I have filled up the water pitchers.
And on behalf of our storytellers tonight, Pearl of Day and Jim Wilson, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a Storyworthy week.
Woo-hoo, rock on!
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.